liked it today, Adam. Please stand in body or in spirit. Christ died for our sins.
He was buried.
He was raised on the third day.
We proclaim this.
So that all may come to believe. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before your angels and saints stand in awe, enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world. And by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house caught filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if of a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 138 responsively with me. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise.
I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything else.
On the day I called you, you answered me, and you increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for the great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The word
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I had in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, As to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have now come to believe. The word of the Lord.
According to St. Luke, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. If you are a child, come on up here. And children at heart, you don't have to come up here. You don't listen anyway. Andrew, oh, too mean. That face, but she did not like that. Andrew, come up here. You're going to be a part of it because I got a question to ask you. What? Well, we're missing. He's like, absolutely not. I am not coming up here. Are you going to listen from back there? He's like, I'm not going to listen. You guys can sit down. Nice Crocs. Are those soccer Crocs? Uh-oh. You got enough gibbets on those? I think you could fit more. He's like, how do you know they're called gibbets? That's right. Anyway, did you guys hear that crazy story, or were you guys not listening? Do you need me to tell it again? So if you were out on a lake... Not today, because it's cold. But if you were out on a lake, and there was a guy out there fishing, and he pulled up these big fishing nets, right? And there were so many fish in the nets that he pulled them into his boat. There wasn't room in that boat for him, so he had to call over another boat, and he pulled in the net to that boat too. And both boats then were so full of fish that they started to sink. What would you think about that? You would feel bad for them. That's probably true. Would you tell someone about it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't tell anybody that you... Wow, this is killing the whole thing. You would? You would. You would tell the police? Oh, man. Would you go... Let's say next day you went to school. Would you tell your friends that you saw this crazy thing happen? Why not? Would you be a, why not? It's not their business. Wow. These are some really good Lutherans. They are so good. They know from a young age that we don't tell the good news. We don't tell this story. It's none of their business. All right. I'm trying really hard to lead you to. Of course I would tell them. Why? Why would you want to tell this story? Okay. When you go home from school and your mom says, "What happened today?" Do you tell her? You do? Lydia, when you come home from school and I say, "Hey, Lydia, what happened today?" What do you say?
"It was good. It was good."
But you tell your mom what happened. Why? She makes you. Wow. Man. Okay. So let's envision this. What if we made you tell? We can't make people witness to Jesus Christ, can we? So this is what's happening. There's this boat. It feels so full of fish that it starts sinking. And the fisherman in there, he has been on this lake for his whole entire life. His name is Simon Peter. He becomes one of Jesus' disciples. He's fished on this lake forever and ever and ever, and he has never, not once, seen this many fish. And he's like, something wild is happening. So what does he do? He throws himself down to the ground and he begs for forgiveness for all of his sins that he's ever done. And why does he do this? Because he's standing in front of God. And then what does Jesus say? Does he say your sins are forgiven? No, you weren't listening. He doesn't forgive his sins. He just tells him, don't be afraid. And he tells him something else. What does he tell him? He tells him, don't stay here. He says, go there and tell everyone you can about the story of what just happened here. So this isn't a story that we keep to ourselves, is it? This story is everyone's business, isn't it? I know, they don't believe that. They don't believe it. They believe, as Lutherans, we just keep this story to ourselves. But let's train a new generation of Lutherans to know that this story is a story for everyone because it is a life-changing story. Because our God is one who encounters us where we are, everywhere. When we're out in the ordinary everyday of our lives just fishing in a boat. There God is. He shows up. It's pretty cool, right? Oh my gosh. It's like pulling teeth today. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you for helping us see Jesus right in front of our faces. Each and every day. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Don't tell anybody we had this conversation. It's none of their business. Okay, so two things that I've never done before are going to happen today. One just happened. I did not plan that sermon. I did not plan the children's sermon I gave at the other church today. And now here I am. I gave one sermon today. I would call it a stinking pile of hot garbage, but to keep it more contextual, maybe it was more like a stinking pile of hot, rotting fish. I don't know. I just didn't like it. It was fine, but the people didn't seem to connect with it, and by the end, they were like, is he done yet? Yeah, so I didn't want to repeat that. So. And then, for the whole 10 minutes on my drive here, I'm like, what am I going to say instead? What am I going to talk about if I'm not going to talk about that? And there was a thought that came to my mind earlier this week that I should have just gone with in the first place. There is something very scary when we think about going out and catching people. It is scary to us, yes, but it is also scary to them. People are afraid of Christians sometimes. They're afraid of us coming up. This is what we think of evangelism is, witnessing is. Hello, I want to talk to you about Jesus. And then the door slams in our face, and we're afraid of that. And they don't want us to do that either. What do you do if someone shows up at your door? You just talk through your phone to your doorbell, and you say, hey, just leave whatever you got in the slot. I know this because he told me on Wednesday. Anyway, which is fair. I already got a church. I'm fine. No. So I think it's scary for us to go out and do that, to go out and tell the story. What is it? We live in a world where we do think, what is it their business anyway? Let them believe what they believe. We're going to believe what they believe. Why would we do this? Why would we subject ourselves to being rejected time after time after time? And I kind of get it. I've never gone and knocked on people's doors and said, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? No, I just come in here into the safe confines of a church and do it to you, and then I go tell you to do it. Right? But the call to Jesus or to Peter today is a scary one, isn't it? You go catch people. Now, think of fishing, right? Think of fishing. Have you ever been fishing with a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old? And they have that fishing pole, right? What's on the end of that line? A hook. And are you afraid? I am terrified. Why? Because they're going to go, and it's going to be stuck in your mouth or your ear or your something. And you're going to be hurt. And that's what happens sometimes when we go out and we fish for people, right? We hurt them with our God, with our Jesus. We tell them what they have to do, what our God says they have to do. But I'm not convinced that that's the call. What's another way of fishing that we hear about today? Casting nets, right? Casting a net out and hauling people in. Well, if we were to do that, we'd have about as much luck as Peter did in the first part of this story. All night, casting net, empty net, casting net, empty net. But the whole idea of trying to capture people into a net and bring them into our church, that's also a little bit off-putting, isn't it? Right? So this whole idea of fishing for people is kind of scary for them and for us. They don't want to be captured. They don't want to be snared. They don't want to be hooked on Jesus. Pun very much intended there, right? Because it will hurt. And it might hurt us if they say no. And then we feel really uncomfortable standing on that porch with the door slammed in our faces, right? So, I wonder if there is another way to think about catching people. What if we think about it in the way that we ourselves have been caught? What if we have been caught and released? That's the kind of fishing that I like, right? I catch the fish and then I let them go. But what's the point? What's the point of us catching a fish and then letting them go? Isn't the point of catching a fish and bringing them in here and making them stay? And then giving money, of course. That's the point, isn't it? Filling up the 58 last Sunday. That's pretty good. That's the point. Catching and staying, not catching and releasing. But the point kind of is catching and releasing, isn't it? We have been caught up in our lives. We have been caught up in God's love and God's mercy. And then we have been through that catching up in God's love and God's mercy for us. We have been released. We have been released from the burden of sin and death. We are catch and release Christians, caught up in God's love and released from the burden and the power of sin and death. And standing in that place, God then says to Peter, Peter, he's down there in the bottom of this boat. He's like, I am terrified. I am standing here in the presence of God. God is not supposed to be here. God is supposed to be in the throne room with Isaiah. But God is here with me right now today in this boat, and I am a sinful, sinful man. Go away from me. And God says, no, I have just released you. I have released you from the burden of your sins. Do not be afraid anymore. Go, therefore, and go fish for people, but not with these nets, not with hooks. Go catch them up in my love. Give them Christ. Give them me. And tell them, free them from everything that has left them broken. That, I think, is what it means to be a catch and release Christian. That is what I think it means for us to go catch people, to fish for people, not to hook them in with Jesus, not by some brilliant marketing strategy. No, it is to catch them in and to have them be caught up in God's love for them. And this love, like only this love can, then frees them to go out into this world. And you're like, okay, that's fine. How do I do this? We go and tell our story. We go and tell our story. Like, they didn't want to. It's okay, guys. No, none of them want to tell their story either. But you don't have to go tell them, here is Jesus and here is what he did, you know, for the life of the world. No, tell them what Jesus has done for you in your life. What has Jesus done to free you? What difference has Jesus made? Does Jesus make each and every day in your life? For me, it's simple. Jesus has freed me to stand here today and proclaim the good news of, I don't know, just being free. Of knowing that it doesn't matter, you know, that my sermon that's somewhere in here and filed far, far away and I'm going to delete, print it out and burn it tonight. It doesn't matter that that was a stinking pile of hot garbage, because I can stand here today and I can witness to you what I know to be true from our God, that our God has freed us from the burden of sin and death, and through his grace, we are freed to go out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know if what I just said makes sense, but I do know that it is by the grace of God, by the grace of God, that Peter was not struck down there that day in that boat like he very well should have been, standing in the presence of God. Our God is on the loose in this world, and we are witnesses to this God. So go, help people understand and see God present in this world. Amen.
I'm
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father.
With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, for the world, and for all of creation.
God of surprising abundance, you give your people vocation that are of this world and call us to enter deeply into it. As you equip us to respond to your call and our vocation, gather up what we have and offer it to all throughout the daily living of our lives in Christ. God, have grace.
Hear our prayer. While we pray to you that you would bring about a world without war and armed conflict, we know that this isn't our present reality. Protect, therefore, those who serve in our armed forces and who have served. Keep them safe in body, mind, and spirit. Open the hearts and mind of all leaders that their use of wisdom, patience, compassion, and understanding may bring about peaceful resolutions to all conflicts that plague this world, especially in places like Ukraine and Russia, the Middle East, and the unnamed places that you certainly hold in your care. God of grace.
God of creation, we rely on the goodness of your creation of substance. From the perch and the walleye in Lake Erie to the corn, beans, and wheat of Crawford County fields, protect those whose vocations expose them to worldly elements and hazards, especially fishers, farmers, line workers, and construction crews. God, have grace.
Hear our prayer. Fill with your compassionate presence all who are suffering from addiction, mental illness, injury, or illness of any kind. Especially this day we lift to you Barb and Jennifer, Beth and Nancy, Krista, Diane, Dave, AJ, Fred, Caden and his family, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Scott, Sandy, Jean, Robert, Ed, Tina, Dwayne, Ken, Bobby, Nancy, Jim. We lift to you Tim, and for those that we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Draw helpers to their side that so that they find relief from their burdens. God of grace.
Call our faith communities to do marvelous things. Bless the labor and efforts of this place, First Lutheran Church, our communities, and our people, that we each, with our own unique gifts and vocations, may witness to your presence in the world. God, have grace.
Hear our prayer. We entrust these and all our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise may be revealed among the people. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship now with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless we offer to your service our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of the water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. They caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, and they filled both boats with so many fish that they began to sink. This God, the same God of abundance, welcomes you, welcomes all of you to this table, where all will eat, where all will drink, and all will be satisfied. You are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. You are a beloved child of God. You are too. But also, here is the body of Christ broken for you. Broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
is the blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
This is the blood of Christ that was shed for you.
Amen.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with the holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody our good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
A few announcements this morning. Worship and music, we are meeting. We are meeting after worship today. So please hang out if you are on worship and music. For a meeting today. Tuesday, we have our community meal. All of you are invited and welcome to come 12 to 1 here in the social hall. Bible study 2 continues on Wednesdays. We are on the third chapter of Jonah. That is at 2 p.m. at St. Paul. Yay! Council meeting this week, 7 p.m. Committee night before that, and fellowship begins at 5:30. And then, not this week, but the following week, we will have on Wednesday a Lutheran partnership meeting here at 7 p.m., and all are certainly invited to come to that. And I heard a rumor when I came in today that, now, to be very clear, a lot of you are more than 80, but I heard that someone may have turned 80 today. Is it today?
No.
No?
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday of this week?
Yes.
Well, we're going to pretend it's today. Can we sing, Adam, can we sing happy birthday to Dick Grandy today?
Yes, one second.
One second. He's like, I got to finish sending this text message. And you didn't tell me about this. Gone, seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
right here. Come on. You bow. All right. You go up here. From the burden of sin and death.
Go, therefore, and fish for people.
But don't hook them in the mouth or anything. That's just mean. Give them Christ and free them from all that has left them broken.
We will.